Sasha, are you there?
Can you hear me now? Well, I have it on.
Now, yeah.
Okay, good. So forgive me, you may have already said this. I have not been listening to every word, I have to confess. Terry, I am just wondering what you mean by you will audit the election results before the election is certified. What does that audit consist of? And I had another question as well.
I'm going to be doing a double direction random sample audit. I'll be taking a random selection of ballots, paper ballots, comparing those with the electronic record that is shown in their software of the BLT file of each of those individual ballots using the PIN as an identifier. I'll then also be taking a random sample of the electronic records of each individual ballot, finding the original image of or paper ballot that goes with and making sure that they match. We'll also be doing a check of the software with it's called an accuracy and logic test in voting terminology, where we'll be running a set of ballots that I will generate of a mock election through the software and also hand count that election with a small sample of ballots and make sure that the software concurs with the hand count that I do. So basically we're going to be confirming that the software is working properly and that the ballots that
Hello?
They tallied conform with the ballots.
Oh, that's Liam. Hang on.
What?
I'm done with my explanation.
Sasha, you had a second question, Sasha?
Yes, I did have a second question. I'm just sort of curious, which stations don't have all their carts done, or does that seem to be problematic?
As far as I know, KPFT is the only station that's done recording carts. Some have just a couple of straggler candidates. At WBAI, not even half the candidates have come in to record, and it's been a month with a lot of open slots. A lot of people called in and canceled, like, the day that they had agreed to come in. Another person yesterday came in 3 hours late, making the engineers kind of frustrated with the whole process. I think WBAI has been the most problematic of all the stations, but other than KPFT, I think they are still all trying to get the final carts recorded.
So you didn't include KPFA in that mix?
I don't know exactly where KPFA is at. They might be done. I haven't talked with Aaron in the last week about that. He might be done, but last I knew he wasn't, but he might be done now.
Great. Thank you.
Lydia?
Yes, I just wanted to voice that I do support. This is such an unusual election. We pushed it so far back, running, up against both the real world elections and the holidays and everything. Everything is truncated. So I think that the challenges to making quorum are greater this year. And I do think there is going to be some benefit to, like, a weekly update of where we are with the number of ballots. I strongly support finding some way of letting us know where each of the stations are. Plus, we're so far removed as opposed to how we normally do it. Like, your local election supervisor would often let you know when they would go do their weekly pickups with the election committee or whatever. And so you would get a sense of it. So being completely having this first experience of not having the count at your station and therefore not having any sense of how far you are from the quorum, but it would really be imperative to feel confident to have some sense of what the count is like.
Well, yeah, we could do that. I mean, we're going to have numbers. I'm getting a lot of echo.
Somebody turn off their speaker, please.
I'll be getting the numbers and sharing them with the local election supervisor, and we could certainly circulate them in some fashion, put them online or something like that. I'm just not sure. An individual person finding out how close it is to the quorum, I just have a hard time imagining an individual voter saying, oh, they're not very close to quorum. I guess I'll better send in my ballot. I wasn't going to, but now I will. I just don't think human nature works that way. But I certainly think we can certainly let people know, so if they want to go out and record a special card of their own or talk to all their friends, we can certainly spread the word. I'm just not sure what's the most effective means of getting people to send in their ballots.
Okay.
This is Jane, could I grab a moment?
Yes, and then we really need to move on. Go ahead, Jane.
I really think that from what you're saying, I think it would be very effective for listeners just to just keep pounding. Yes, get your ballots in. Yes, I mean, I think that just assume for, you know, I mean, everyone can just assume the worst. We really need you to get them in. I just wanted to say that the reason that you shared with us, I can see how that could work. So.
Okay. All right. So thank you, everyone, on this, on these Q&As, and let's move on to selecting the next committee meeting date. The way I'm seeing, all the questions and issues that keep coming up, and the fact tonight's going to be a very truncated meeting for those who came late. We just have one more item after this. So I think it would behoove us to meet sooner than later. So let me put on the table the option of Wednesday, November 7th, and see what do people think of that. That's obviously the day after the government elections.
This is Lydia.
Yes.
At least I think the directors will be preparing to leave town, so I don't, the next day.
Manager?
Yes.
Bob, do we have quorum? I think many people have been leaving. I have been hearing people. Do we have quorum? Can we vote on things?
Under Robert's rules, we can continue doing business as long as we can get a majority of quorum to vote for any motion.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other suggestions on next meeting date? I mean, part of the problem is that the first half of November, I should say, is really booked up with other committee meetings. The next one after that would be, I know we don't like Fridays, but there is Friday, November 16th. How would people feel about that option?
How about Friday the 2nd? Oh, never mind.
I have a question.
Yes.
Manisha.
Yes.
This is Jane with the...
Jane. Yes, go ahead.
Is the PMB meeting in person in October?
In November.
I mean, in November, where are they meeting?
Houston.
Did you hear that, Jane?
Yeah, I just can't... Never mind.
Okay.
I'm just shocked. With the finances being what they are, I'm shocked, but that's okay.
Yes.
I agree with you.
I agree with Jane.
Manisha.
Yeah, Manisha.
And talk to your director.
Go ahead, Manisha.
I had heard that because of financial situation, there is not going to be an in-person meeting, and I'm surprised too. I'm really shocked. But the other thing is that both days are good for me. I can make it if you are taking tally of who can. But also, I remember that last time we came up with some dates, if you remember. Do you remember we came up with some dates last time, didn't we? Or I'm mistaken?
No, I think
there are dates that have all passed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me ask it this way.
WPFW's meeting has been moved up to the 7th. I'm going to change that on the calendar right now.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Yeah, we're not meeting on the 14th. We're meeting on the 7th. First.
I see. All right.
We have a big fundraiser planned.
Sure. So then let me ask it this way. Is there anyone who is opposed to meeting on Friday, November 16th?
Yeah, this is Anthony. I would rather we meet on the 7th.
Well, she just said that the 7th is an LSB meeting, and
we never
conflict with an LSB meeting.
Mm-hmm. I don't normally have a problem with Fridays, but I have a problem with that Friday.
Okay. Anyone else?
I have a bit of conflict, but I think I can manage it somehow. I would be in train.
Well, Anthony, would you kind of stand aside so we could go forward, or would you like us to have, because if not, we can have a roll call vote so that it's recorded.
Well, right, but what about if Fridays are acceptable, what about Friday the 9th?
The full PNB is meeting in Houston.
Okay. Never mind.
Okay, so Anthony, which way do you want us to do it? Do you want a recorded roll call vote, or do you want to just stand aside?
Yeah, if I'm the only objection, then so be it.
Well, we don't know how many people are on yet right now.
Well, no, I just ask if anyone else objected.
Well, we don't know how many people are on.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I would object without knowing who's on.
Are you more comfortable with a roll call, Jane?
Yeah.
Well, it only takes one to
that's fine.
A roll call, but we need a quorum.
That's my point.
Oh, okay.
I would just rather ask for
fair enough
roll call to find out. So we're calling a vote on Friday, November
16th at 8:30 Eastern. So go ahead, Jane.
Okay, Andrea Turner.
She said that she couldn't be on.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Anthony Fest?
No.
Sasha? Tracy?
Sorry, what was the date?
Friday, November 16th.
Possibly. Yes.
Okay, I'll come back. That's a yes?
Yeah.
Tracy?
I'm going to have to vote no. I can make that date either.
Ken Aaron? Lydia?
Yes.
Michael? Oh, Michael's not here. I'm sorry.
No, he's not here.
Fred Blair?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes?
Teresa?
Somebody please do take that speaker thing off.
Teresa?
On mute.
Leslie?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Monday.
Can someone, I'm sorry, hang on one second. Can someone with this background noise please mute? Okay, thanks. Go ahead, Jane.
Monday?
Yes.
Okay. Carolyn?
I'll have to abstain. I don't know yet.
Okay, is Ivan on? And this is Jane. I don't really know. Revlin? Revlin, are you on? So I'm going to put an abstain for me. So I think we do have a quorum. And so even though we don't have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yeah, we have 11 people voting, so we've got a quorum, so that's fine. You have a majority passed it.
Okay, can you ask, I heard some beeps, if there's anyone else who...
Okay, it is Ken Aaron. Ken Aaron. Teresa Allen. Revlin Gold. So, then the other people, I think, are absent. That would
right.
be...
No, you don't have to call that.
That's all, yeah.
Okay. All right. So then that will be our meeting date, November 16th, Friday. All right. Thank you. All right. And the final item for tonight, and the other things will be held over, is the timing of listener candidate forums and the role of staff. So Nancy had the item about timing, and I had the item about role of staff. So Nancy, go ahead.
Yes. So is Terry still on?
Yes, I am.
Oh, he's gone. Okay, good. So you said
can anyone hear me? Can you hear me?
Now, yes.
Okay, I wanted to know if I was muted or not. Thanks.
Okay. You said 1 week before would be plenty of time, even though it's nearing Christmas rush season. So that means December 4th, it should arrive by the 11th. Well, I recommend that you use the LESs not to have these Google Hangouts and our candidate forums on the air so late. I mean, mine is on December 7th, so people have, 4 days to get to. I don't think they're going to wait that long to mail. I mean, these things should be these where the candidates on the air or the Google Hangouts should be much, much earlier, like in November before the 14th, or for sure before Thanksgiving, to get it in the mail, the ballots, because when the ballots come, that's the prime time when people are going to start voting when they open up the thing. This is so unfair, in my opinion. I mean,
I can try and explain. At KPFT, as I understand it, there are several different avenues being used. There's the Google Hangouts, which only I believe only KPFT is doing. There's the candidate forums and there's the carts. And the way it's being done is the candidates who are first on the forums will be last on the Google Hangouts. People who are first in the Google Hangouts will be last in the forums. To try and get all of the events, all the candidates on, and get the number of 20 carts that the PNB is suggesting is mandatory as a minimum, they have to keep going beyond the date that you would like it to end by, because there's just not enough days to get all of the things on. And it's not ideal, but the election period has been shortened. It was normally 45 days. It's now down to 30 days, basically, from the date the ballots are mailed to when they have to get back. So there just aren't enough days to do all the things. You're right, it would be ideal to have them earlier, but there aren't enough. It can't be done.
Yes, it can. It can. If you start the 7th of November and do three people instead of doing this one person on 19 minutes, it was a very nice idea to put one person, one candidate on 19 minutes. But since it's so late, the election, and you're going to make it where people are seeing people, you know, which is a crazy time, it's too late. Then double up, make three people in 19 minutes, or three people in 1 minute, or whatever, and start on the 7th. You'll be finished by November 14th. You don't have to have this lagging and unfairness, and it's meaningless. Those things are meaningless if they're going to be played on the December 5th and December 6th, December 7th. It has no meaning. It's insulting.
Well, all I can say is I can talk to EO again, but as she explained it to me, this is a new addition that's being done, which I don't think any other station is doing, and she tried to balance the timing so that people who were first on the forums were last on the Hangouts and so on, to try and balance it out, because she didn't think she had time to do them. I understand you're saying maybe that people could double up, triple up on the Hangouts. I don't know about that.
Hangouts, the open forum. They don't have to have 19 minutes for one candidate. We don't have that luxury of the time. So just put three people on instead.
I'll have to talk with EO. As I understand it, there are forums with multiple candidates as well, as I understand it.
We already finished those.
Right. So, I mean, you're way ahead of all the other stations. You already have more voter education than any other station. So, but I'll talk with EO again, but I'm not sure. I'll see if there's something we can do, but I'm not sure if there is. But I don't want to take up everybody's time.
It can be done. It can.
Okay. Thanks, Nancy. I think we heard you very, very clearly. All right. So, Terry, just first a question about the timing at the other stations. And you may not have it in front of you, but do you know approximately when the debates, the on-air debates are starting at the other stations?
I think some stations have done them, but have started them. But most of them have not done any yet. I'll confess that I have not been keeping tabs on each station's schedule.
Post them to the committee?
I can try and find out what they are from the LESs, yeah.
That would be helpful. Thank you. All right. And I would like to offer a motion that comes out of reports over the years of problems with the way the on-air candidate debates by listeners have been handled. And I think rather than giving any more explanation, I'll just read the motion, which has a bunch of whereases to try to kind of set the stage for why there's a problem that needs a solution. And please, everyone, remember before you say we can't tell Terry what to do, that the wording is that the election committee recommends. And we recognize Terry is the absolute authority on these rules, but we're just making... My motion would have us make some suggestions about how to absolutely ensure fairness. Okay.
Yeah, so, information about...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was this motion somewhere online that we could look at it?
I posted it at just before the meeting at 8:28.
Okay.
But I'll read it now for those who don't have it and for the stream. Whereas in past LSB elections, local election supervisors have sometimes authorized Pacifica paid and unpaid staff to moderate on-air candidate debates, and whereas in those instances there have been complaints that some such moderators have shown partiality toward or against certain listener candidates, and whereas regardless of who was moderating, there have been complaints that Pacifica paid or unpaid staff acting as engineers have made on-air comments disconnected callers or altered the order of accepting calls in ways that showed partiality toward or against certain listener candidates. And whereas in some instances, paid or unpaid staff have called into such debates, asking questions or making comments that showed partiality toward or against certain listener candidates, which is disallowed by the fair campaign provisions, resolved that the PNB Elections Committee recommends that the National Election Supervisor issue the following rules for on-air candidate debates. Number one, all debates shall be moderated by local election supervisors or individuals with no affiliations with Pacifica who are deemed by them to be impartial. No Pacifica staff members, paid or unpaid, or managers may be moderators, except that for non-English language debates, if the local election supervisor does not speak the language and no such Pacifica non-affiliated person is available, staff members but not managers may moderate. Where the local election supervisor is not moderating, she or he shall be present in the studio during the debate. Number two, Pacifica staff performing engineering roles during debates may not speak other than for routine announcements or to state that a caller is now on the air. Number three, engineers for debates shall put calls on the air in the order received. Number four, no Pacifica paid or unpaid staff or manager may call into a debate, and any who do so will be immediately disconnected and be subject to discipline. That's the motion.
Jane, could you say?
Sure. Go ahead, Jane.
Bob, you know, the situation that I've experienced as a listener and as a candidate is a polar opposite to what you described there. There were two election cycles that I was aware of where it just happened that the one year the our local election supervisor in D.C., she deliberately used the on-air host whose show was being preempted for candidate forums. She asked them to host the forums. And that, for me as a listener, was the most interesting time because the shows that I was, you know, other elections where there was just, you know, the show was preempted. To be honest, I kind of got turned off by some of it a little bit, you know, call me a touchy listener, but I had personally recommended to our local election supervisor the practice of, they ask the regular host if they'd be willing to moderate the session because for the listeners, it's going to engage them a little bit more. So I just wanted to let you know that I think that there's a strong case to be made for, unless there's an objection, a problem, I think it's a very good practice that makes for an interesting show for the listeners. And I'm not aware of any complaints about what you're talking about, engineers hanging up. I don't know of any of WPFW's engineers ever doing anything like that. I certainly didn't hear about it if it occurred.
Okay, others for the stack?
Yeah, Carolyn, for the stack.
Yes, go ahead.
I know at the AI we did have some problems with hostile moderators who were on the staff and didn't happen to like the candidates who were in their hour. I appreciate your point about answering calls, putting calls on the air in the order in which they're received, but there are people with robocall technology who will just keep dialing in again and again and perhaps flood the airwaves with one point of view or another with their friends. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. I suspect that's the safest thing we can do, just to enter in the calls in which they're received, unless there's some evidence that people are using automatic dialers to control the order. So I'm not quite sure what to do about that, but I, much as I'm happy that Jane's station hasn't had the problems, we have had a few at the AI. That said, I'm ambivalent about making a resolution, a dictum that just is more work for the local supervisor, and wonder if we shouldn't just leave it up to the national supervisor to direct the locals to be aware of problems and handle them that way. I'd be curious to hear what other people think about that.
Can I get on the stack? This is Terry Brucius.
Certainly, Terry. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I could speed this up by telling you the what I told the election supervisors to follow as a policy. I've said that they should not have members of management or staff act as moderators. I appreciate what James said, that there could be circumstances in which it would actually be very ideal to do that. But based on the risk-benefit analysis says that there once a harm occurs, you can't go back and undo it. The preference is to have the local election supervisor or a designated person who is bona fide, guaranteed neutral, be the moderator. Also that no callers, no staff or management will be allowed to call in. They'll develop a standardized procedure for putting callers on or questions. And it might be that they'll simply do a stack and take them in the order they receive them, but the local election supervisor will establish a procedure ahead of time. It might be that they'll decide that what they're going to do is have callers call in, take their questions, write them down, and then paraphrase them so that callers cannot go on and you know actually do something far beyond ask a question. Basically, local election supervisors are going to be deciding what the procedure is going to be for having questions from callers and assuring that there won't be staff in that process. They'll structure the forum so that all candidates have roughly equal access to airtime, recognizing that, of course, some candidates will give short answers, so we're not going to actually keep a stopwatch for each person. But, no, there will be no calls like calling in and asking a question of a particular candidate. Those questions will not be allowed. There will be questions of the candidates in general, not one that's only relevant to a particular candidate. So that's basically what the election supervisors have been directed on. But with all these things, sometimes someone will call back and say, I've already arranged to do this way. Can I do that? And I'll make exceptions based on, you know, unique circumstances. But this is the way that it's planned right now.
Manager?
Okay, this is Lydia.
Manager, Lydia, and then myself. Go ahead, Manager.
Yeah.
Nancy.
Thanks, Terry. Did I hear you correctly that if you said every election, local election supervisor will set up their own, you know, come up with their policy procedure about this? If that's the case, I really think that it should be something that is around, you know, that we establish some of these things that are need to be done around all the station at the same time, that you had supervised what is being said, what procedures. I like the idea of people taking questions, you know, supervisor taking questions, and put them in a way that people are not taking up of the time or promoting this or the other, but also to be sure that there are people from different people can have access to this question later or whatever, so nobody raise a question that our supervisor would bias or didn't say this or the other thing. But I really think that we should have a national network policy. Thanks.
Well, I appreciate that. The difficulty is that I have not done the local election supervisor process myself ever. I've been a national before, but I've never been running a forum. And I felt people on the ground who are dealing with actual human beings there might have perspectives. And it's going to be different from station to station. I appreciate what you're saying, and it might be that a future election supervisor can set up a procedure which really is the best and can be used everywhere, but I didn't feel competent to tell them exactly how they should do these things. I just set the guidelines, the principles that they have to adhere to in terms of equal access to airtime, and I just didn't feel like I could, you know, I guess I'm repeating myself.
Okay. Lydia.
I mean, again, these are only advisories even when we pass them as motions, but unless we do that, then for next year we don't have the ability to always remember what we've done and pass it so that it's more binding in advance of the election, give additional guidance to whoever is there. But in the short term, I think it might be appreciated, actually, by some of the local election supervisors who have not gone through this before at Pacifica and might actually help them. And it's flexible enough. I mean, number one, obviously, it's just advisory. And secondly, I think it says whenever possible, if I'm correct. And so I think that that in conjunction with what you just articulated, Terry, it's very compatible with that, because obviously the locals have to have enough flexibility to move forward, but it gives them a little bit of an idea of what could be optimally perceived to be ultimately the most fair way to move forward. So I will support the motion.
Okay, and calling on myself, I'm very pleased to hear Terry say that a lot of the key points in this motion have already been adopted as policy. That's very reassuring. I do think Lydia makes a good point that it doesn't hurt to have it written, because in Pacifica there's such a short institutional memory for any policies we adopt that they, you know, they're just kind of gone from down the memory hole a year later. So I think it would be good to put it out there. And then obviously it's up to Terry to do what he, you know, when his judgment makes sense. I had one very specific question about the point that you said that staff and managers will not be allowed to call in to debates. That's great. So I think to make it really clear, can that be just mentioned at the start of each debate, just to remind those who may not have heard, may not have seen the email, or whatever the case may be, to just alert all listeners, if your staff, don't call in?
Sure. I mean, I can remind LESs of that, make the suggestion that be part of the ground rules that are announced at the beginning.
Okay, great. All right.
Nancy had...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes, do you think also the manager could somebody else other than the manager give these PSAs about the election? I would think you would find that a good recommendation. And I would like to recommend that the LES not make up not edit by herself these descriptions of the candidate that she's put on YouTube, because it should be just what the candidate has said, not the LES's decision and writing down things under the YouTube. It's discriminatory, in my opinion, of people of color. And there's two lawyers. There's more than two, there's four lawyers, but there's two, one Latino and one white. And then she's giving two lines to her the LES edited for the Latino lawyer and doesn't even say that she's a lawyer. And then the white lawyer, she gives it lots, like five lines, and then tells that she's a lawyer. And I don't think the LES's job, I don't think it's good for her to do this. This is really, my recommendation is that she should not, the LES should not do that kind of thing. And those things should be taken down. The candidate statement only on there. This is so... this is the basis for a federal lawsuit and in the federal courts for discrimination of people of color.
Well,
this is not the only place. And
I'll
the cart,
ask EO,
the
I'll cart, ask EO what you, I'm not
look
sure
at the YouTube.
What you're talking about. Okay, I didn't even know she had anything on YouTube. So I'll ask.
Yeah, she's written things about, and some people only get two lines, and some people get, you know, lots. But the thing is, you know, this is a basis for a lawsuit, and it's not just that the carts. She called it a test drive of the carts. Well, some people were, for those 4 days, some people were given three, and
okay.
I was just one. Other people one, and then none of them were on the archives. Everything deleted. So why deleted? And then we have some candidate forms. Some of the phrases were deleted. I don't think this is the LES's fault. I think this is management, or maybe they're in cahoots with each other. I don't know, but I think she should listen to those things and have them with a tape recorder, because, when bad things happen, you cannot just turn your back and say, well, that's Texas, and then they're always doing bad things. You have to. We need some help here. Yeah, that's all.
Okay, Terry, did you have any closing remarks about this?
No, I'll talk to you. I don't know about this, so I'll have to talk with her.
Okay. All right. Well, we're at time on this, so we need to go to a vote on my motion, unless there's any final amendments.
Well, this, Jane, I wonder.
Yes.
Well, no, I can't. I was going to ask that we table it to the next meeting, but I realized that won't.
Yeah, it'll be moved by then.
Yeah. I think there's merits to your proposal, but I don't like the way it's, I can't support it because of the way it's worded. So.
Okay, well, is there anyone who wants to divide? In other words, to vote on some of the points individually?
No, Bob, let's just vote.
Just go on.
Okay.
Please, where is it?
Hold on, one at a time. I heard Nancy's voice.
Yes, can you tell me where it is so I can see what we're voting on?
I posted it at 8:28 p.m. Eastern.
8:28. Okay, thank you. I'll look at it. Go ahead.
Okay, so if there's no call to divide.
This is Anthony.
Yes, Anthony.
As to number three, I wonder if that could be amended slightly. Engineers for debate shall put calls on air in the order received. Perhaps add the phrase, comma, unless directed otherwise by the LES. That way the LES could respond to instances of if there's some kind of mischief going on.
Okay, so let's consider that amendment. Terry, is that would you support that amendment?
I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I mean,
I've
already told them to use their discretion.
Right.
This is one procedure they can use, and they can also
being
balls in other ways.
All right, so let's start by voting on Anthony's amendment. So number three had read, engineers for debate shall put calls on the air in the order received. His amendment would add the phrase, unless directed otherwise by the local election supervisor. So is there any objection to that amendment? Okay, hearing none, that's adopted. So now let's call the roll on the whole, all four points together as amended by this last point about unless directed otherwise.
I'm sorry, Bob, that was unless directed to do what?
The wording is unless directed otherwise by the local election supervisor.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so we're voting on the whole thing. Does anyone need the whole thing reread? Or
no.
Can we just go?
No.
Okay, so go ahead, Jane, call the roll, please.
Okay, these are going to be completely out of order because I sorted my
That's fine.
Sasha? Lydia?
Yes.
Fred?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Wesley?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Manajay?
Yes.
Anthony?
Yes.
Tracy? Carolyn? Jane is no. Ken, are you here? Michael, no. Teresa, are you here? Revlin? Sasha?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you have 8 yeses, 1 no. You do not have a quorum voting.
Okay. Under Robert's rules, if there is still a quorum of people at the meeting, motions are still legal to be passed as long as the motion passes by a margin of a majority of the quorum. So since a quorum is 10, a majority is 6, so the motion passes.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the end of our meeting. Thank you, everyone, for sticking with it on presidential debate night, and we'll see you on November 16th.
Okay.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you, Bob.